Hello, my friend, and I am so glad that you have joined me today for such an important conversation. And it's all about dealing with the hard stuff that entrepreneurship throws your way. And I think that we often know that entrepreneurship is going to be difficult when we kind of sign up for this gig, but I don't know how many of us were really fully prepared or how many of us would have said yes, knowing all the things that were going to come our way. But the reality is that we all choose our hard. What I've found myself saying many, many times is entrepreneurship is hard and working for someone else is hard. And we have to choose our hard. And so you're listening to this podcast because you are either in entrepreneurship or thinking about jumping into entrepreneurship. And so knowing that there's going to be hard things coming your way is so incredibly helpful. And this came up in a conversation that I was having with a new friend of mine that I met online, and we were talking about how things were hard. We met in a group and just kind of went back and forth, and we ended up hopping on a Zoom call, and we talked about hard things. And I asked her, I said, would you be willing to come on the podcast and just talk about some of these things? Obviously, we didn't have to share all the things that we were talking about personally, but really about entrepreneurship, I was interested to see if she would come on. And she said, without hesitation, she said, absolutely, because I wish that I had heard some of these things as I was starting or as I've been experiencing them so that I didn't feel alone or that I was the only one going through this. And so we got this on the books as soon as we could. And I wanted to get this out because whether you're going through a hard time now, or you might go through one soon or later down the road, I wanted this to be available for you. So this is one of those ones that I think you should bookmark in some way, grab the show notes, download this episode on your phone, whatever you want to do, because it's something that you can come back to time and time again, because we talk about a lot of different things. We talk about all the, maybe not all the things, but a lot of the things that we wish people would have either said to us, or I specifically talk about things that I was told, but I didn't necessarily truly believe. I thought it would be different for me, like I was a special unicorn or something. And the reality is, like, we're all going to deal with hard. And so I am not a special unicorn and neither are you. And we need to realize, like, there's always going to be hard stuff. So in this episode, we talk about revenue and we get really honest about what sometimes that feels like when revenue is up, down, and all over the place. We talk about emotions and how we specifically really struggle to navigate those emotions and really deal with them, both good and bad. And we talk about comparison. We talk a lot about that and how we put so much pressure on ourselves because we think other people are doing it better or having it easier. And so we talk about it all, and I just know that you're going to love this conversation and be really helped by it because, again, I wish that someone would have said it to me, and I wish I would have believed it. So there's that. But let me tell you about this amazing guest I have because she so willingly said yes to having this conversation. And so I really want you to make sure that you connect with her because she was so open to talk about this. Ruthie Sterrett is the founder and CEO of The Consistency Corner. That is a full-service marketing agency that provides CMO-level strategy and done-for-you implementation for service-based businesses. She is such an amazing resource, and she has 15 years of experience that she can bring to your business. Ruthie is uniquely qualified to help CEOs take off the marketing hat and get back into leading their company and serving their clients. She is known for her optimism and upbeat personality paired with a solution-finding growth mindset. And in her spare time, Ruthie loves cheering on the Purdue Boilermakers while raising her family in sunny Florida. She is wonderful, and you're really going to enjoy this conversation, so I won't make you wait any longer. Let's jump in. This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Ruthie, thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot wait for this conversation.
Yes, I'm so excited to chat through all the things. I just love, you know, our conversations, how transparent and real you are. And I'm excited to have this conversation so we get to talk about the things that maybe people aren't talking about.
I totally agree. And I can't wait to really introduce that. But before I jump into all that good stuff, can you tell us a little bit about how you stumbled into entrepreneurship and what you do now?
Yeah. So I certainly never envisioned myself as an entrepreneur. I went to college for selling and sales management, started out actually in pre-pharmacy because I thought I wanted to be in pharmaceutical sales only because I was good at talking to people and science. Like that was it. I mean, I was 18. I didn't know anything. But I stumbled into really sales through my background in retail. And I loved retail management, worked in retail management for years and years and years, but always knew that when I had a baby that I didn't want to work traditional retail. I knew that nights, weekends, holidays, I did not want that to be a part of my life as a mom. So when I had my son, a really interesting thing happened. I had this weird feeling, like a calling, purpose, I don't know what it is, that I was meant to do something to support working moms. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was looking around the world. This was like the beginning of Instagram, the beginning of Pinterest. And I was like seeing all the stay-at-home moms live their best life. And I was like, Where's the moms who work? What are they doing? How are they doing it?
Right.
And I didn't see it. And I thought like, okay, Ruthie, you were put on this earth to like help other working moms because I always wanted to work. I loved working. I never dreamed of being a stay-at-home mom. And I thought like, I'm going to figure it out. And I didn't know what that looked like. I started out trying to do a lifestyle blog. I started out in network marketing, shifted into health and fitness coaching, all the while thinking I needed to be doing something, right? And along that path, realized like, oh, you're an entrepreneur. You're trying to start a business. And things weren't really sticking. And I decided while I was doing all that to work with a business coach. And I was working at the time then in corporate marketing. I'd shifted into corporate retail, was a marketing director for a retailer. And I started working with a business coach and realized I was a self-taught marketer. B, I was teaching other people marketing on my team that I was hiring. And C, I helped that brand go from like $1 million in barely $1 million in their online sales to $9 million in 1 year through some of the work that we were doing around. Yeah, it was a big jump. And in that moment, talking to some people in my community and the mentorship container that I was in, it was like, oh, what if you did marketing as a business? Mm-hmm. And there was like a light bulb that got turned on and the content poured out of me when I decided that that was what I was going to go for. And so behind the scenes, I'm trying to figure out offers and how I'm going to help people and what's a signature method. And I worked at it for about a year and a half while still in corporate. And then all of a sudden, when my son started kindergarten, we had some struggles. It was a big struggle of a transition for us. And working that 9 to 5 made it incredibly difficult. And we had to change schools. And I made the decision when we had to change schools that if my boss wasn't going to let me leave at 3 o'clock every day for the new pickup time, that I would resign. Mm-hmm. And I just made the decision. And once I made the decision, it was like propelling me into where I was actually meant to be in starting my own agency. So right. I did resign, started my business full time. I mean, I had kind of been dabbling behind the scenes, but started my business full time. And I realized that I wasn't ever meant to find another job because I had been looking for another job that, you know, maybe offered more flexibility or more work-life balance. And I couldn't find it, but I was meant to create it. And I realized that not only was I meant to create it for myself, but that me helping working moms was I was meant to create a business that could hire other women and give women the opportunity to work in their zone of genius, have flexibility, be able to go to pick up and drop off and doctor's appointments and, you know, field trips and all those things. And that was why this dream was put in my heart so, so long ago when I first had my son. And I've now been a full-time entrepreneur for just about 2 years. And it's been a journey for sure. And like I said, not something that I hadn't originally envisioned for myself, but knowing that bigger vision of supporting other working moms so that we can do things that we love and are passionate about while also caring for our families is what really keeps me going.
Oh, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing the twisty turny road that led you here, because we all have that. And what I really liked about what you just shared was that you didn't have all the answers, but you just put one foot in front of the other and you kept going and you stayed true to what you wanted to do. You didn't know how you were going to do it. And so much so that it was like, I know I want to help working moms, but you didn't even know you were going to help them with marketing. You didn't know you were going to do anything. And I think that's such a wonderful thing to highlight for anyone who's feeling like, I just don't know, because that can be paralyzing to a lot of people. And I'm sure you had moments of that. And so we glossed over it really quickly of like, oh, and you just kept going. But I'm sure there were hard moments. What would you say to the person who's feeling really lost? Like, I know I'm meant to do this thing, but I don't even know any other answer.
Yeah. You know, I remember when my son was probably, I don't know, two, three, somewhere in there. I was reading Christy Wright's book. She used to have Business Boutique. She does some other things now. And she was talking about your mission. And I kept thinking, like, I don't know what my mission is. Can somebody just tell me? And no, somebody cannot just tell you. It is about working through it and processing all of the things. And even now, I continue to go back and refine my mission and vision as things become clearer and I understand more and I have more introspection and even more experience. So my encouragement would be just keep going. And a coach told me this years ago that I always go back to is you don't have to see the top of the staircase to take the next step. Just keep taking steps. Do what feels right now. Do what feels in alignment right now. And that next step is going to lead to the next step, which leads to the next step. And there's going to be twists and turns along the way. And that's okay. But it's the not taking any action, not taking any steps that never actually gets us anywhere.
Right. And sometimes that feels like the hardest thing to do, to not take action. And sometimes it feels like the easiest thing to do. And I really appreciate that you said that staircase idea and that visual of you don't have to know the end. It's just that next step, whether it feels like easy or hard. And I know so many people struggle with that, especially when you're new in entrepreneurship, because there's so much you don't know. And gosh, I remember that feeling. And people ask me all the time, like, well, what did you do? And I was like, I learned through Google and I learned through podcasts and books. I just kept consuming information, which that's not the answer all the time. But at first, that's like the step I knew to take.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big planner. I love a big calendar. Yes. I love a big whiteboard. I want to map out all the steps. And one of the things that I've learned in the last year or so that's really helpful, that it's not the actual plan that's going to get you to where you want to go. It's the exercise of doing the planning. And I had a coach just this year tell me, like, we're going to write an annual plan. And guess what? You're not going to do half those things. Right. And if you can let that go and just write the plan for the exercise of writing the plan and not beat yourself up at the end of the year of like, oh, I didn't check all the boxes, which coming from a corporate environment and even coming from a academic environment, not checking all the boxes feels really uncomfortable. I mean, I remember I used to sit in my corporate days. We had this exercise where we would basically have to write an annual plan for our department. And then at the end of the year, we would go through it. And how many things did you achieve or not achieve? And every year our boss was like, well, you only achieved like 50%. How are you going to do better next year? And after 5 years, I was like, we're not going to do better because our plans are too big.
I remember those days so much, being in corporate and having that idea of like, this is the plan. And I'm such a planner too. So I love creating the plan and executing the plan. And then it's like, but it's not, it never works like that. And, you know, thinking about, you know, you and I wanted to jump on this podcast interview to talk about hard things, about like, what do we wish people talked about? The funny thing for me is that this was a hard thing for me, is the planning is something that comes so naturally. Just like you, I was director of marketing and, you know, running a team and all of that in the corporate days. And so planning was critical. And it was what I knew what to do. And so when things didn't go according to plan in entrepreneurship, it really threw me off at first. And I, the funny part is like, this is what we wish people would say. But I remember a mentor of mine telling me that. And she said, you have to prepare for the ebbs and flows of entrepreneurship. Sometimes it's going to feel like things are going great. Other times it's going to feel like nothing is working.
Yeah.
Whether it's revenue, your plan, anything. And I remember hearing those words. I can remember exactly where I was when she said it. And I remember thinking, yeah, I'm sure she's right, but this will be different for me. Like, and I laugh so hard thinking that now because that's ridiculous that I even thought that. And so when I talk to anyone new, I say, that's what I say. And I say, look, I didn't believe it when someone told me. I really wish I had believed it. What about you?
It's, well, that makes me think of what you think parenting is going to be like before you have kids.
Right.
you don't know. But one of the things when you said ebbs and flows that I immediately thought about that I wish people would talk more about is that sometimes your revenue is going to flatline.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's going to decline.
Yes.
And when that happens, know that it's normal. Mm. You know, we're in a season right now where in the online space, the income claims are just out of control.
Yes. It is. I feel like we've gotten to a new level of ridiculous. To the point where I'm glad we're talking about it because I was like, at some point I'm going to have to say something like to, because I am not the person that's like six figures, seven figures, but it is unreal how like, and not just the number, because the number is what it is. It's the time frame in which they achieve the number that really gets under my skin. Cause I'm like, that is just not accurate.
Yeah. And but the thing is, it keeps happening because it works.
Right.
Because our human brains want the quick fix. Mm. It's the same thing with the diet industry. You know, lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Like, we know logically that that is not healthy or possible. But we're still like, ooh, maybe this time it'll work for me.
You're totally right. We do want that. And I want quick money too in my business. I mean, who doesn't want quick results? And because the end result for anyone listening to my podcast and your podcast too, it's people who want to impact people's lives. Like, and so the revenue correlates with helping people. So it's not bad to make money. It's great because it means you're helping more people. Like, all of that is good. We want money in our business. But I love that you said not just the ebbs and flows, but that it will flatline and or decline. And I cannot thank you enough for calling attention to that because I really wish someone would have told me that too. Because the first time that it declined in my business, I thought, oh my gosh, like I was doing something and it was looking successful and now it's bad. Like what happened? Because I just assumed it would always not necessarily go up at a huge incline, but always be going up, not down. Mm-hmm. So it was a shocker for sure.
Yeah. I'm in a season right now where, you know, in my first full calendar year of business, I hit six figures, which—
That's incredible.
I have to celebrate. I don't do a good job of celebrating myself, but like I'm learning to lean in and celebrate
that's
that.
That's huge.
But in that same breath, we get into the next calendar year and my revenue is dipping. Mm-hmm. And I am not hitting the projections that I have made. And I've had to make some hard decisions in the business in terms of cutting some expenses because as a business owner, those are sometimes the hard decisions that we have to make. And there for a while, it was like, okay, we're going to keep, we're going to stay the course. We're going to keep doing the thing. And then after, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of that, the revenue continuing to be flat and not hitting those initial projections, it was like, okay, we have to make some hard decisions about expenses. And that's something that I don't feel like anybody talked to me about in the beginning.
No.
From an entrepreneur standpoint. Now, my W-2 husband is like, maybe we could not spend spend money on a coach
right.
and a VA.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but mentors of mine, it was always like outsource and yes. get mentors. And it was like, okay, but after this much time in this particular season, the revenue is not there. Mm. And I've got to make some changes. And so I just made a really hard decision to both cut my VA for a little while mm-hmm. and to end a mentorship relationship with a coach, both of which I value so much.
Right.
But when the revenue is not there and it hasn't been there for several months, mm-hmm. I had to make that hard decision to say, like, we got to pull back a little bit for a little while.
Right. Oh, you're bringing up something that just tugs at my heartstrings and my stomach all at the same time, because I've navigated this. I am currently also in a different season of business where I made a huge pivot last year. And this ties to what you're saying, so I'm not taking us off of what you were saying, but when I made the pivot, like a really big pivot in my business, I've pivoted a few times, but it's kind of been like a little. So it didn't derail all the things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so last year in 2023, it really started the end of 2022, but in 2023, I made a pretty big pivot. And what I'm trying to reframe, I keep saying pivot, but what I'm trying to reframe now is basically I shut one business down and started another one. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't rename it, it felt like a pivot. And oh my gosh, the difference between the revenue before the pivot and then after. And I didn't think it would take as long to recuperate. And mm-hmm. I'm still in the process of recuperating at the time that we're recording this. And so those, I really like how you talk through that of like, it wasn't like you did it on month one of down revenue. Like that would be a knee-jerk decision. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like you can weather the storm for a month or two and still be okay. But after 6 months or so of declining and or flatlining revenue, it doesn't make sense. But the hard part is when it's another person. It's not like a system. Systems are hard to cut. I'm not going to say that they're not. But when you truly care about a person and value what they're doing and don't want to take that revenue from their business, and certainly don't want to lose the support in yours, it is a very hard decision to do that.
Yeah. It's something that like I am still like grieving, right. like grieving the decision, because I know that like you're exactly, I want to support those women. Mm-hmm. I want to support their businesses. I value the things that they do. And it's a tough decision. I remember hearing, I think it was on a podcast, I heard this, somebody talk about an entrepreneur being the holder of risk. Mm. And like, to me, that's what this is. I was the holder of risk and I have to take that responsibility of like, this is no longer the right investment. And a good friend said to me, it doesn't mean you can't ever go back.
Like, right.
It's okay. But that is a hard thing to hold on to. And so even like working through and grieving that process and that decision has been, you know, something that I didn't really anticipate.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either at all. Because I guess what I would say is that some, you know, my mentor that said ebbs and flows, and I knew she meant financially. We talked about that a little bit more, but I didn't really, I was hopeful that that wouldn't happen. Silly. It's going to happen. Period. End of story. Like 100% it's going to happen. But what I didn't understand about that was the emotions that come with that. Not just like, oh, you have to push harder, or oh, something's not working, so you have to change it. Like all of those things are logical. The emotional part was not what I was prepared for. And certainly not like when it comes down to like, you have to cut a coaching relationship or something like that. Like that's really tough. And I think about this now, and I certainly hope I have done a good job. If anyone has worked with me and I did not do a good job, please email me and tell me. But as a coach, I try really hard to proactively talk to my clients who I'm working with on an ongoing basis and say, How are things looking? Do you want to continue? Please don't ever feel the need that you have to or the pressure that you have to, but the door is open for you. And I try to give that permission almost because I know that it's hard to let go of a coaching relationship that you value and enjoy, but sometimes it doesn't make business sense. And we have to be, like you were saying, like the holder of risk, we have to be the stewards of our business. If we want it to go long-term, sometimes we have to make short-term decisions that hurt.
Yeah. And that, you know, you talked about the emotional ebbs and flows, that not anticipating. I don't know about you. I'm an Enneagram 3 who often doesn't feel, we don't feel our feelings. I have time for feelings. I'm going to put them over here on the shelf. Yes. I'll deal with that later. So over the weekend, I had made this decision last week as we're recording this about the coach. Mm. And over the weekend, I like flipped out on my husband because he had put a paper that was on the counter into the mailbox, like the mail holder. And I like flipped out on it.
Right.
And I took a walk later and I was like, why am I so, why did that make me so mad? Well, it's because I'm sad and I'm grieving this decision that I've made and I'm not allowing myself to process those feelings. So it's coming out in other ways. And, you know, that we were talking about this a little bit before we hit record, even that, like being able to compartmentalize all the different parts of being a business owner, a mom, a wife, a friend, you know, so many of us also a caregiver for parents or other family members or whatever it may be. And that's a lot on your mental capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's something that like, the mental capacity of being a business owner and the weight of it that I certainly didn't anticipate in the beginning.
Right. I didn't either. I didn't even think about it. Like it wasn't even like the financial part I thought about. I was aware. I was aware of the risk because probably you and I are the same in this of like, if you're a super planner, you're probably really in touch with finances and really like secure in that. Not saying it's always wonderful. It's more of like you just know your finances a little bit more because you're a planner. And so I thought about that. I did not think about the emotions at all. I also did not think about how it never shuts off. Like when we think about compartmentalizing, I'm actually a pretty good compartmentalizer. And I'm not saying that to brag in any way. I think there's pros and cons to doing it and not doing it. But generally speaking, kind of like emotions, I'm like, I can just put something on a shelf and get on with the day most of the time. I think about my business all day, every day. I have to actively try and not think about it, which is really hard. And that's not what I did in my corporate jobs. Now, I was a workaholic in my corporate jobs, because I think I was trying to people please. I was trying to climb the ladder. I was trying to do all those things and work hard. I have like that work ethic. So I worked hard. But when I walked out of the office, oftentimes I was like, okay, that's done now. I stayed too late, but regardless, I was done with thinking about it and I could like go have fun on the weekends. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, I am still thinking about the email that I should be writing or this is a new idea that I could put on Instagram or whatever. Like I'm thinking about it 100% of the time and it is so difficult to turn it off.
Yeah, it is so difficult. And I was different. I was the workaholic who didn't turn it off in corporate. Like I was thinking about it all the time and almost felt like I approached my corporate job as my own business. Now I realize in hindsight, I did not hold the risk.
Right.
So there was a different level of pressure and feeling there. And in fact, like it's given me a lot of greater appreciation for some of the risks that, you know, my boss at the time took on. But, you know, compartmentalizing both the business stuff, but then also all the other stuff.
Right.
Like your life doesn't stop because you have a business. You still have to go to the dentist and take care of your kids and your house and all of those things. And it doesn't stop. And that's hard to figure out how to balance all of those things. And people, you know, say, oh, time blocking. My thing with time blocking is like, I feel like I'm blocking the time for the wrong thing.
Right. Hey there. I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before, or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal, and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you, or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support, and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode. You use the word balance, and I have found that that word just doesn't work for me. Like, It just doesn't. What I ended up when I was writing my book in 2022 and 2023, what I realized was work-life balance doesn't work for me. I don't know if it works for other people, so great if it does. It's more integration. Like, I was like, I just need to not try and think of like, because balancing to me is like, oh, equal time. And I just don't, I think there are seasons where you need more family time. Like, your family needs you more. There's times when your business needs you more and your family has to take a back seat. I think that no one wants to say that, but we need to be honest about that and say that, that's true. Our family, usually, like, we want our family to come first all the time. And I agree with that. Friends and family, that's quality of life. Abso-freaking-lutely. And that's why we created the job that we have for ourselves as an entrepreneur. We wanted more time. We wanted the carpool pickup line. We wanted to be able to go to the dentist or to have lunch with our friends or whatever it is. We wanted that. However, as a business owner, to be a good steward of your business, there are times where your business is on the front burner. When you are launching a new product or a new service, and you have to focus on that. Like, I don't think a lot of people, maybe this is my hard thing I'm bringing up, is I don't think a lot of people bring to light that that's okay. And we shouldn't feel guilty about that at all. After one of my first launches, it was in the first few years, like, I nearly had a breakdown because I'm trying to launch this thing. It was one of the bigger launches I had ever done. And I, like you with the paper, I mean, I was losing it with my family, not really being a huge jerk, but for me, I was being a huge jerk. Like, I felt really guilty. I wasn't wanting to do the things around the house. Like, I was wanting to work more. And I realized that, okay, Amanda, the next time you have a launch like this, sit down and have a conversation with everyone in the house and tell them that it's going to be different. Every launch after that was very different because I said, hey, this is what's happening in the business. I cannot cook dinner. I will not be doing extra laundry. These are the things that I can't do for the next 2 weeks. It was fine. No one was mad about it. And I don't think people say like that that's okay, but I had to figure it out on my own and I felt so guilty for it until I had a conversation and then it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so much of that comes from the expectations we put on ourselves based on what we see on social media.
Right.
And social media, like, I love it. I love it for certain things. I love the people that I have been able to connect with because of the internet, the people that I've been able to meet on Instagram and in Facebook groups and on LinkedIn and whatever. But when we scroll and we get in that comparison trap, or I call it comparisonitis, and we see all these things, it does. It messes with our heads.
It does. I mean, I really, like, you're nailing it. As I was just thinking, well, I should be able to do all of this. I should be able to do it. But the reality is, and that's where I came to the point of like, I'm not aiming for balance anymore. I'm aiming for integration. And so there are times where the family comes first. There's more times that family comes first, but there are times that the business comes first. And I don't know, there's probably going to be a lot of people that listen that are like, no, Amanda, I don't think that that's true. And that's fine. But the reality for me as a business owner who very much loves my family and wants to be very present and always put them first, and friends too, because I feel like friends are family too. There, my business, like in order for me to have the business that I want, there's going to be short pockets of time throughout the year that it has to come first in terms of my time, because otherwise I can't, I won't be able to build the thing that's sustainable in the long term.
Yeah. And that, you know, that comparison on social media and even listening to us talk in this podcast, this is like snippets of the entire day. And that's something that I have to remind myself of when I either meet people and network with them or see them on social media, is like, I am seeing a teeny tiny little snippet of your day. I am not seeing your entire story. We only see our own entire story. And so that becomes like a reminder of, everybody else has hard seasons too. Everybody else has hard stuff going on. And I really try to, I say, I want to highlight the real amongst the highlight reel. Like, let's also talk about some of the hard things because I want people to know that it's not all sunshine and rainbows all the time. But even that, sometimes the like vulnerability of like, I'm having a hard, like I am very open with my audience about like, sometimes I need to take my phone and throw it out the window because I picked it up 87 times today. I'm not actually getting anything done.
Exactly.
Like, I want you to know that that's a real thing, because I think so many of us struggle with it and think we're the only ones.
Right. I think there's a lot of things like that too. The phone, the comparison, anything that anyone is struggling with, I guarantee you there's more people that struggle with it than you even know. Simply because, like you said, we're only seeing snippets. And I always like to, like when this comes up, which isn't all the time, we talk about comparison on the podcast a bit, but whenever it comes up, I always like to say that it's okay that we don't share and other people don't share everything. Because as soon as we think that, and I'm not saying you were saying this at all, but saying like it's only a snippet of the day, sometimes people get really frustrated. Like I'll be on the other end of a coaching call and they'll be like, well, I'm looking at these people and they're not sharing their story. And that's their choice. Like I strongly believe that we all get to have boundaries and share what we want. Our responsibility on the other side of the screen is to remember that they're not sharing the whole story and they're allowed to. Yeah. So I think what you said is so important, of like just remembering. We don't have to be mad that they didn't share the whole story, because that's allowed. Because like there was a, you mentioned caregiving. There was a season, a pretty long season, where we had moved my father-in-law in. We were taking care of him. It was such a difficult season. I didn't talk about that when it was happening. That wasn't my audience's place to know that, to hold that for me. And I didn't talk about it until after. And so no one knew it was happening, and people said it later. I had no idea that that was going on. And I thought, well, that's because I chose not to talk about it, which is fine. But we always have to remember everyone's struggling with something. We just don't know.
Yes, which is why we just have to be nice to each other. Oh, that is like literally, this is like my Midwestern roots coming out, but like the biggest value in my business, and I always say this because it's the number one thing I want to teach my son, is work hard and be nice. Like show up. Do the work and be nice to people because you don't know what's going on with people behind the scenes.
Yes. There was I think it was a commercial. I wish I could remember the company name, because I would really like to give them a shout out for doing something like this. But there was a commercial that stuck with me, and I've seen it years before, so I really don't remember. But it was like someone walks into a hospital, and as they're walking through a hospital, they see other people walking, sitting, doing whatever. And above each person, it said like a little bubble of what they were going through. So like one person was like walking to see their friend who had just had a baby. Another person just lost their spouse. Another person was doing like going in for a procedure, or another person was getting a test result. That commercial impacted me in such a way, because you walk into one building, a hospital, right? And there's good things happening. There's scary things happening. There's stressful things happening. People working there are dealing with it all. and seeing it. And so they're dealing with a lot. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's everywhere. That's when we go to Target. That's when we're doing anything else. And so ever since then, like you teaching your son to just be nice, I've thought, I want to always try to remember that people are struggling with something. And so when someone is a massive jerk to me, because it happens, right? People are jerks all the time. I try to remember they're struggling with something. They're struggling with something. I need to give a little bit of grace. I don't need anyone to be like really be mean to me. Like I need to stand up for myself, but I also want to give grace where I can because I mean, we just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't. And you know, we're talking about some of the hard things that people go through in business and life and all of this. And there was a, I don't remember exactly when it was. It was in the last couple of years. You can YouTube this and you totally should. The Duke women's basketball coach gave a speech to the team about doing hard better. That it's never going to get easier. Nothing ever gets easier, but you get better at doing hard things. And oh, I made my son watch that. I've watched it multiple times because every single time we're in a hard season, it's like, no, it's not going to get easier, but you're going to get through this and then you're going to get better at doing hard things.
That is so powerful. I'm definitely going to watch this after we get off this and I'll make sure to link it in the show notes too.
Yes. Yes. It's so good.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. And maybe that's like the overarching message. You and I just were like, we just want to talk about the things that no one talks about. And so everyone listening just got to hear just the random things that came to our mind. But the reality is, I think we all choose our hard. So working for someone else is hard. Working for yourself is hard. We choose our hard. I love being an entrepreneur. I'm not saying I'll never work for someone else again. I've learned not to say always or never because life changes, you know, different seasons of life. But I love being an entrepreneur and this is the hard that I choose. But I can definitely attest to what you just said. Every hard season of life and entrepreneurship, I've gotten better at dealing with hard. I don't lose it when I see my revenue dip a little. I don't make knee-jerk decisions anymore. I don't panic quite as much. When I hear something about a product or service of mine that's a constructive criticism, I love it instead of really being upset about it. That's one of the bigger things I think I've done over the course of 7 years of running a business is welcoming kind feedback. I mean, not just nice and telling me I'm great. That's not helpful at all. It's wonderful to hear, but it's not helpful in terms of me getting better. But I welcome that feedback because it allows me to get better. But that was a hard thing to deal with. So doing hard better. I love that.
Yeah. It's such a great reminder when you are going through something of that's difficult of like, this is preparing me and this is teaching me to do hard better.
Right. And you've shared you're in a tough season. I've shared I'm still in a tough season with revenue, with a lot of different things, a few things personally as well. And it's just been a really tough season. And so for anyone listening, I just want everyone to know, like we're talking about the hard things, not because we're done with them. We're talking about them in them right now. And we just talked about a few different hard things. So Ruthie, as we're wrapping this up, someone listening, probably a lot of people listening are dealing with one or multiple of these hard things, whether life or entrepreneurship. What would you say to them other than do hard better?
You know, that's a great question because it's a question that I have to ask myself. And I think one of the biggest things that I've had to lean into is taking the time and the white space to feel the feelings and to process the things. And I remember, you know, years ago, I was super into all the personal development books and I loved reading all the things. And I remember hearing people say, you just have to do the work. And I was like, but what is the work? Like, I don't understand. Like, could you just give me like a checklist? Yes. Like to cross it off? And over time and, you know, working with mentors and support and therapy and all the things, the work is sitting in the feelings. The work is feeling the feelings and reflecting on them and knowing that it's not about feeling them so they go away. It's about feeling them, to feel them and learn the lesson. Mm. And sometimes we have to slow down for that, and we have to take the white space for that. And that's okay. And again, like, I have to keep reminding myself of that, and probably will my whole life. But that's where the lessons come from. And that's where the bright spots come from. And that's where the insights come from, mm-hmm. is in feeling the feelings.
Mm. I caught myself making faces when you're like, like, that's hard. Like, if you're listening, you can't see my face, but it's like a scrunching up of my face, because I'm the same. I can compartmentalize feelings. Again, it's not a good thing. I'm not saying it as a good thing. I'm saying I recognize that that's part of who I am. And it's hard to sit in the feelings, because I love taking action. I want to fix it right now.
And it's even hard to sit in the good feelings.
Yeah.
Like I had a mentor, she was coaching me on this and said, every time you make money in your business, even if it is $5, I want you to take a gratitude timeout. I want you to sit for 5 minutes and feel the gratitude of that money that you made in your business. And she's like, it's going to be really hard. And she was right. Oh, it was hard to sit for 5 minutes and focus on how grateful I was for that interaction, for that person, for that money, for that abundance, whatever it was, because we are not used to allowing ourselves to just sit with the feelings.
You're totally right. You're absolutely right. And I went to the hard feelings first and the sucky feelings, but equally is the good. I am terrible at celebrating. Mm-hmm. I am, you and I are in lockstep with that one. My friends, my family, any mentor or coach I've ever had has nailed it really quickly and been like, you move on so fast. The good part about that is you move on from the tough part of, like, someone just told you that your course that you just created sucked really bad and you can move on. Like, that's a good thing. The unfortunate part is that you cannot celebrate for a moment.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this, like, that gratitude moment. I've never heard someone tell me to do that. So I'm going to take that and implement as I move forward, because you're right. I typically do my accounting twice a month. I follow the profit first method. And so the 10th and the 25th, you can guarantee I'm doing my accounting unless it's a weekend. And when I do that, I've never paused. And I need to be, I am grateful for the revenue that's come in, but I've never really sat with it like that.
I literally keep a sticky note on my computer screen that says gratitude timeout. And every time I log into Kajabi and see that there was a transaction, it's like, okay, we got to do the gratitude timeout. But like, I need that visual reminder to keep me doing it.
Yes. I'm going to set a reminder, because I have my task for my accounting. And so I'm going to add it in. I'm going to add it into that, because I'm pretty good about just not checking in all the time, because it's a different system. And so I do it on those regimented days. So I'm going to make sure I do that. And one thing on that same note that I would tag on to this that's been really helpful for me, going back to that idea of trying to balance, integrate whatever word resonates with someone, I have found that at the end of the workday, does not matter if it's 5 p.m., 2 p.m., 9 a.m., 8 p.m., doesn't matter what the end of my day is, if I can close my computer and sit for just a minute and just close my eyes and know that I did enough, I am a better human being outside this door of my office.
I was coached on that very similar thing, to literally close the laptop and say, today I have done enough.
Yeah.
I have done enough for today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do.
It's hard.
Like, last night, I had kept my laptop open because I was going to come back and do a thing and check a thing in between. Yeah. And it was like 9 o'clock at night that I finally closed the laptop and said, okay, today we have done enough.
Yeah. It's so hard. It's unbelievably hard for me. And I would also say, for anyone who is great at sitting in their feelings and knowing what enough is and separating different things, compartmentalizing, like, celebrate that gift, because clearly not all of us have these gifts and we work really hard towards them, because that was a really big one for me, is just knowing that I've done enough. And Michael can tell. He doesn't really, my husband doesn't really know that shutdown process that I do every day, but I swear anytime I don't do it, I'm a little more frantic and he's like, "Are you okay?" Every time. And I'm like, shoot, I didn't do it. I didn't tell myself I did enough. And so I don't feel like I did. And so I'm running around in the kitchen trying to do more things to try and make up for what I didn't think I did or something. Yes. It makes a big difference. So I do my best to do it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, Ruthie, thank you. Thank you for talking about the hard things. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being so open and for doing all that you do. And I know that people are going to want to learn more about you, what you teach, and connect with you. So where can people find you online?
Yeah, I hang out on Instagram. So at the Consistency Corner. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about today was social media and the comparisonitis. And one thing that I help business owners is to step away from social media without sacrificing your visibility. So if you're interested in learning about your next steps and what your social media strategy could be to get off that hamster wheel, I have a free decision guide that kind of walks you through some different options. And you can get that at theconsistencycorner.com/decide. And so you can check that out and learn some different ways to step away without sacrificing your visibility.
I love it. And you have such a beautiful way and very effective way of teaching the Instagram 9 grid. So I'm going to give that a huge shout out to. It's part of that decision guide and really understanding that. It's something that I did quite a few years ago, just winging it on my own. I wish I had known about you at that point. I don't have the grid anymore, but it was so helpful in the season that I needed it. And I would encourage everyone to do that. You do such a great job of teaching that. And all things are about stepping away from social media, but still using it. So thank you for doing what you do, because it is so impactful and it helps all the things that we talked about today.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This was such a great conversation.
Thank you for being here. I hope that you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed having it, even though parts of it were a little hard to have and really say, like, I wish we didn't have to deal with some of this stuff, but all of it was very real. And I hope you feel very, very supported. And so your next step after listening to this conversation, number one is to bookmark this in case you want to come back to it. But really what I want you to do is do as Kara Lawson says. So Kara Lawson is the Duke women's basketball coach. And this is who Ruthie mentioned towards the end. And I have the YouTube video in the show notes. So make sure to check that out. Or of course you can search for it. But here is what Kara says. She said, make yourself someone who handles hard well. And then whatever comes at you, you're going to be great. And that's what I want you to remember, because the hard stuff is coming your way. Whether it's happening right now or it happens down the road, it's going to come your way. And I want you to know that because it's happening, it doesn't mean you are necessarily doing anything wrong. Now, of course, there's times where we have to take accountability of our part in the situation. But most of the time, hard situations are just going to come our way, both in life and in entrepreneurship. But knowing that they're coming, and saying, okay, this is a hard situation and I'm going to get through this. And when I get to the other side, I'm going to be even better at handling hard things. That's what I want you to do. Now, I know that knowing that you're not alone in this and knowing that hard things are coming your way, that doesn't take away the sting of the hard moment. So feeling those emotions, Ruthie and I talked about that time and time again in this conversation. We both admitted we are not great at sitting in the emotions and feeling the feelings. Get the support that you need, therapy, coaches, that sort of thing, like whatever you need in order to actually make that happen. But sitting in the feelings, both good and bad, is something that's going to help you have more resiliency to the next time it happens so that you can do hard better. And when we can do that, we can weather the storm more effectively and level-headed, which is what I always need, in these times, because you are manning the ship of your business. And to be a good steward of your business, you have to be able to weather the hard stuff. Because let's say you want to grow a team and you really want to grow this business. There's going to be times where it's going to be hard and you're going to have to really lead a team and not just you. So this moment right now is preparing you for whatever is coming next. And I don't mean that it's always going to be hard, but you know what the hard times do? It makes the good times just a little sweeter and you appreciate them more. So I want you to remember this, no matter when you're going through a hard time, just know you're not alone. We all go through this. It's not because it's you, it's because it's entrepreneurship. So please remember that. And until next time, give yourself permission to do hard better and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMcKinney too. Until next time.